Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. In the opening verses of Malachi chapter 2, we have the prophet's pronouncement of God's judgment upon the people of God, and specifically upon the priests, the leaders, who were supposed to be leading God's people to worship God, but were instead the primary instruments of encouraging them to depart from true heart worship of God. And so consequently, the judgment of God is going to fall upon them more severely than even upon the general population, because they will not honor God's name, because they will not heed God's word, then God is going to send his curse upon them, and he's going to curse their labors and curse their children, their families. He's going to curse their blessings, the good things that normally come to them because of their service at the temple as priests. God's going to turn all that into a liability instead of a blessing, and he's going to shame them, he's going to humiliate them, he's going to take them away from their service at the temple so that they can no longer fulfill that role and enjoy that honor any longer. And if these judgments continue to their ultimate conclusion, the whole priestly order, the Levitical order, would be destroyed. And God says, I'm not going to let that happen. And he gives us, in verse 4, as we saw on the broadcast yesterday, two primary reasons for this judgment that is described in verses 1, 2, and 3. And we'll look at those again in just a moment and then go on from there. But thank you for joining me on this Friday, October 18. And please don't forget that we depend upon contributions from radio listeners just like you. Well, the purpose for this judgment is twofold. Number one, to exalt God's word, and number two, to extend God's work. And we see that in verse 4. Then you shall know, when all these judgments fall, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you. The judgments which I pronounced through my prophet Malachi, you heard them, but you were skeptical. You didn't know whether you wanted to believe them or not. Well, you didn't want to believe them. You didn't know whether you did believe them or not. But when they fall, when they happen, then you'll know that that word came from me. It will demonstrate the words of the prophet Malachi as being, in fact, the word of God. It will demonstrate that God's word is trustworthy, it is truthful, and his promises are always fulfilled. These judgments will exalt God's word, but number two, they will extend God's work because they will change conditions so that God's covenant with Levi may continue. And that's the last part of verse 4. Verse 4, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. If these judgments are ignored and continue to be ignored, and there never comes any repentance, then there will never be any restoration, and then there will be an ultimate destruction of the Levitical priesthood. But God said, I'm going to cause these judgments to have a restorative effect, a disciplinary effect that will bring about restoration, repentance, and change, so that my covenant with Levi may continue. Now, I can't help but stop for a moment and make an application to our own beloved United States of America. I think I mentioned on the broadcast a couple of days ago that it seems very evident to me that the judgments of God have already begun to fall upon our nation. It is not that if we don't repent and change our ways, God is going to judge America. It is that we see evidence all around us that God is already judging America. But there is certainly greater judgment that will come if we don't change. Greater judgment that can come, the judgments we've seen now, are not the severest judgments that God is able to send. And we can take comfort and encouragement from this text in Malachi to believe that if even now, even after some of the judgments have already come, that if we will recognize this as coming from the hand of God, acknowledge that we are deserving of His chastening, repent of our sins, turn to God, honor His name, honor His word, that these judgments may yet be averted, not obviously the ones that have already fallen, although God is certainly able to reverse them to some degree, to restore the years that the locust have eaten, but He's also willing to call off more severe judgments that are yet to come. And you say, well, tell me what those more severe judgments are so I can decide whether I want to do that or not. Well, in this case, we don't know. In the book of Malachi, we do know because God spelled out His judgments and declared them to the people through His prophet Malachi. We don't have any comparable spokesman for God who is declaring God's judgments upon America, but we can see the parallels and we can open our eyes and we can recognize the judgment has already fallen and we can realize that far greater judgments can come and will come if we don't turn back to God. And all I can say is, I don't want the more severe judgments. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. I understand the need to repent and turn to God. And I pray almost daily, almost every day, I think I could say every day, I pray for a genuine revival in America. And what do I mean by that? I mean, I pray for the Spirit of God to come and so work in the hearts of His people, the people who are called by His name, so work in the hearts of His people, His preachers, His churches, that we will recognize our sins and turn from them, repent of our evil ways, and return to the Lord, so that He might bring blessing upon our nation again instead of stronger and stronger and stronger judgments until we are utterly consumed. Every now and then I'll see something that encourages me to think that maybe God is beginning to answer that prayer, but in the main, on the whole, I don't see much that encourages me yet. It seems to me like Christians are getting more careless, more apathetic, more presumptuous by the day. It wasn't that long ago that on one of the television shows, and I didn't see the show, but I did read about it later in an article, that two of the contestants on this particular program claimed to be Christians and mentioned their Christian testimony. One of them said that because he was a Christian, he was reserving sex for marriage. The other one said that even though she was a Christian, she was not unwilling to engage in premarital sex and that, and this was her words, Jesus loves me anyway. Well, the truth of the matter is, that Jesus does love in spite of our sins, but that is such a presumptuous attitude. I don't think anyone can rightfully claim that Jesus loves me while I am unrepentant and defiant as to his law. I know that this is against what the Bible says, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's what I want to do, and it doesn't matter because Jesus loves me anyway. What an attitude, what presumption, what defiance of the living God, what dishonoring of his name, what disregarding of his word. It's bad enough that many Christians act that way in their behavior, as if that's what they've said and that's what they believe, but you don't very often hear somebody come right out and state it so boldly, so blatantly, so audaciously as that. But in this case, that's exactly what happened. And my own heart was terribly grieved, because I'm thinking, what kind of a testimony is this? This person claims to be a Christian, and this is what they're saying? What are they communicating to others about what a Christian is, what being a Christian means, what salvation is, what God saves us from? It was a sad, sad day, and only God knows the heart, but my suspicion would be that that particular contestant was no true born-again Christian at all. Just one of the many nominal Christians that we have in America that grow up in homes that claim to be Christian, grow up in churches that teach some kind of Christianity, but have never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but still want to call themselves Christians, but they don't want to yield allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't understand that being a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That being a Christian means to surrender to the authority and will of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't seem to understand that. They seem to have the idea that I can do whatever I please, even knowing that it is rebellious and defiant against the God of the Bible and the Bible that he has given to us, and yet I know that I'm a Christian anyway, and I know that God still loves me anyway. And I'm saying, what kind of a testimony does that communicate to a lost and dying world? Woo. Yeah, we need revival, don't we? That's what I'm talking about. How badly we need revival in America. We need the Spirit of God to come and to convict people like that, so that they either say, I am no Christian, I am not a Christian, I'll quit saying that I am, I'll quit professing to be, I'll quit telling people that I am. It's clear that I'm not, that I don't have any heart's desire to please and serve the Lord, and therefore I know that I'm not a Christian, or to say, I am ashamed of my previous statements and behavior, and yes, I am a Christian, and now I am a repentant Christian. I acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and I acknowledge that his word is my authority, and I acknowledge that to disobey his word is grievous sin, and I desire to be cleansed from my sins and to live in the light of his word. That's what it means to be a Christian. I don't do these things in order to become one, but that's what happens when a person has been saved by the grace of God and has the power of the Holy Spirit working within them. We need revival in America. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.